This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
We keep the show rolling. Hour number two, Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And we're coming to you live from Seaport District of Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. Sal Palantonio joining us on the Goodyear Hotline as we are already now underway in week one of the NFL season. And what a show it was last night. Before we get into the game you'll be covering, Sal, this weekend and some others as well, I just want to get your take off of last night's game and how I felt this way. People are really talking a lot today about Dak Prescott. I came away marveling more about Tom Brady and how he just continues to do it at a high level. You gave him 90 seconds, and he took your heart. I mean, that's just what he does. He continues to do it at the age of 44. I found that just to be compelling.
Oh, and the whole game was compelling for both of those reasons. If you want to start with Tom Brady, you know, we're in uncharted territory. 44 years old, to be able to stand there, look down the face of the gun barrel, deliver the football over and over again, it's just quite amazing. You know, you've got players on the field that are half his age coming right for him all night long, and he just stands in there and delivers over and over again. Truly an impressive feat. We will never see it again. I'm glad that we are getting to see it because it's historic in every possible way. But the real coming out party, if you want to call it that, was for Dak Prescott. I mean, this is a guy who didn't take a single snap in a preseason game, hardly practiced at all, and they asked him to drop back 59 times, 59 times, against a defense that tormented Patrick Mahomes II in the Super Bowl, against arguably the best defensive coordinator of the game today, Todd Bowles, against a guy who's an absolute beast. I mean, literally a runaway locomotive in Devin White. Over and over again, they came up with those double A-gap blitzes, and I thought the Cowboys did a very good job of, one, picking up the blitz, and two, holding and not getting called for it. There was a lot of holes that were not called last night, but you know, they came away basically keeping him clean for all but one sack. So I was very impressed with how courageous Dak Prescott was, considering that he had zero kind of speed preparation for it going into the game, and he put him on the doorstep of victory.
Now, Sal, with all that being said, you know, both things can be true, right? It can be a moral victory and a great litany test of where the Cowboys are. It could be, okay, another chapter in Tom Brady's greatness. But when you look at the Cowboys, does it change your mind now for you to believe that maybe they are or should be the favorites in the East?
That's a unknown right now because we haven't really seen what we're going to get out of Fitzmagic/Fitztragic and the Washington football team. And I want to see what he has left at the age of 37, a quarterback, because he's got, in my mind, Bart, and listen, I'm talking to the premier linebacker in my life, Bart Scott, about defense. But in my mind, of all of the eight units, offense and defense, in the NFC East on the four teams, I would vote the Washington football team's defense as the number one overall unit because of the way they can get after the quarterback without blitzing. And that, to me, is the difference, if you can do that. Because last night, what we saw was blitz after blitz after blitz. I mean, we are in a blitzing league. There's no question about that. And if you cannot protect the passer in the National Football League, and especially in the NFC East, you're going to have a problem. So the question I have for you, if we want to go forward, is it sustainable?
Yes.
That you would drop Dak Prescott back 59 times and not ask Ezekiel Elliott, you know, your $80 million running back, to carry at least a balanced level of the load? I mean, they are paying him to carry the rock. I would think that they would have more balance on offense going forward and try to take the pressure off Prescott, try to control the clock a little bit more, control field position, so they don't put him in this position of having to carry the team.
And that young defense, I know they used a lot of pieces, but that young defense is going to wear down with a 17-game season if they're going to have possessions at times where they're three and out and they only take really a minute and a half off of the clock. So to answer your question, it's not sustainable, but I wonder if this is more a Mike McCarthy issue, because Mike McCarthy, that's always been his MO, right? He didn't run the ball in Green Bay. And Kellen Moore seems like he's trying to audition for a head coaching job by showing everybody, you know, look what I can do with all my creative plays. Now, I don't know if it's a one-off, but it's not sustainable, and Ezekiel Elliott is going to have to get more involved, because I argue if they would have ran the ball just a little bit, they wouldn't left to terrific Tom so much time on the clock to go down and score. You know, when you score, you can't leave guys like Drew Brees, Matthew Stafford, you think
about how about Justin Herbert next week? They play the Chargers. How about Justin Herbert? You don't want to do that.
Yeah, you can't give any decent quarterback.
You got to go back on the road to L.A. and play that team, that gunslinger.
But Sal, I've been avoiding it. I've been avoiding it. Some sad news in Orange Mills yesterday. I mean, I don't know if they need to sage the field, if they need to call Kyrie Irving up and tell him to come sage the field, put some rose quartz out there, because I don't know. I've never seen this. Like, you talk about back-to-back ACLs. Now, listen, I know if it's any team in the league that can handle adversity early in the league in the year, it's the Ravens. But where do they go from here, and what's the expectations for them to try and get a running back up to speed just in case Tyshawn Williams can't handle the load or he gets injured?
Well, Bart, it's me and you talking. So we know it's a scheme running game, and that scheme is based on Lamar Jackson, or giving somebody else the football as an option to Lamar Jackson. They play option football off the quarterback. So what they basically got to do is keep the scheme in place. It's a good scheme. It's very productive. You don't necessarily have to have a monster back. You can do it with guys that are on the downslope of their career like they have done recently. You don't need a real burner, because you already got one at the quarterback position. So I don't think things will change that much. I mean, they want to transition more. That's why you bring in Sammy Watkins. That's why you draft who you draft at the wide receiver position, Rashad Bateman. Yeah, so they want to go to a little bit more balance. But the bottom line is, when you look at who they have on that offensive line and who they brought into the right side with Zeitler and Villanueva, that they're going to be a scheme-based running game surrounding Lamar Jackson with the kind of pieces that can help him a little bit, take the pressure off. To me, correct me if I'm wrong, the loss of Marcus Peters is really the biggest blow to me.
Yeah. Yeah, he allowed them to.
Because that means Wink Martindale, and they were the number one blitzing defense in the league last year in terms of volume of blitzes. So if you don't have Marcus Peters, because he's a true shutdown corner on the left side, so if you don't have Marcus Peters there, that changes the way Wink Martindale will call the defense. I think that's the bigger deal.
Sal Palatonio joining us right now on the Goodyear Hotline, making the plays that move you forward. Goodyear, more driven. Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, Barton Hahn, as we get ready, or continue, actually, for week one, as we had a dynamite game last night to get things started. Sal, you'll be part of the coverage for Bills Steelers, which is one of a couple of really interesting AFC games. And, you know, we'll stay in the AFC North for a second here, as on the Steelers' side of things, they get the deal done with T.J. Watt. And as Schefter reported, it was really T.J. Watt that said, no, let's get this thing done. He wanted to get right to work. It didn't feel like this was in doubt. Mike Tomlin even spoke about how he felt like, you know, they will get something done eventually. But adding him, or getting him in the fold in time for this game, how important is that to what, to setting some type of tone for the Steelers in an AFC where it feels like they aren't in the conversation with the favorites like the Chiefs, the Browns, and also the Bills?
Alan, super important, super important. And it dovetails over what Bart just said. You look at the Baltimore Ravens and the losses they've had. Okay, so maybe now the Steelers will re-enter the conversation where the Browns were dominating in the AFC North. This matchup is a rematch of Week 14. When the Steelers went in there and could not run the football at all. The Bills could run the football. and they won the game. They had balance on offense. I'm sorry, but I'm hammering this point because we're in a blitzing league right now. Blitzes were called at a rate of 27.5% last year. That's the highest rate in 5 years. And all you got to do is look at what was going on last night. It was blitz after blitz after blitz. So we're in a blitzing league, and the best way to mitigate that is to be able to run the football. And that's why when I was at Steelers camp this summer, went one-on-one with Ben was like, hey, Sal, listen, we got the mandate from Art Modell Jr. on down that we will run the football this year. They were last in the league in that category. That's why you go out, draft Harris in the first round, and you decide to make that a much more important part of your offense. The problem is what? They got four new starters on the offensive line. Two of them are rookies. In fact, they got four rookie starters on the Steelers offense this year. You know what the last time they had four rookie starters to start the season week one on their offense? I'll wait for it. Ready? 1970.
Oh, my God.
That's 51 years ago. That's a half a century when Terry Bradshaw was a rookie quarterback. It's been a long time. A long, long time.
Wow. But Sal,
I was in junior high school. Mark, you weren't even born yet.
I knew it had a 19 in front of it. I didn't know it had a 70-something in front of it.
Hey, Sal, I would argue that in this division, the AFC, in that division, AFC East, right? I would argue, AFC North. Did I just say it wrong?
You said East, yeah.
Yeah, AFC North. I would argue that the Steelers have the most dominating unit in the division, right? When the same thing we said about the Washington football team, we can say that about the Steelers. And part of the reason why the Buffalo Bills could run the football is because Devin Bush wasn't there and T.J. Watt. So that's what I'm trying to tell people and explain to people. There's a little bit of fool's gold. I understand that Ben got tired and he was throwing the ball too much, but their decline had just as much to do with the lack of being able to get pressure on the quarterback because T.J. Watt
I'd rather you tell Sal what you predicted yesterday about that
division. Okay, okay. Well,
I'd love to get Sal's take on this. Go ahead.
Okay, so I have the Ravens and I have the Steelers in the playoffs. I have the Browns missing the playoffs because I think they had one of the most bloated 11-5 seasons of all seasons. It reminds me of when the Jets were 10-6 and missed the playoffs, and last year they fell off a cliff the next year. Because remember, Cleveland was outscored last year by 11 points, but yet they went to the playoffs. I think the Browns will become the Browns
again. Listen, Alan, listen, I love this man. I respect the heck out of him, everything about Bart Scott. But I just think that Cleveland, the way they have
– yes.
They reconfigured that secondary, and I'm a big believer in Baker Mayfield. All I know is, Bart, you're a veteran of those wars in the NFC North.
Yeah,
this is going to be a war of attrition in that division, and there's no question in my mind that it's going to be a battle of the three teams, not two, three, because the Ravens, because of the losses, are going to come back to earth a little bit. You're right about the Browns. This will be a reconfiguration for the Browns. But the Steelers and Big Ben are on the clock. They're on the clock. He's 39. Mm-hmm. He's in the last year of his deal. I'm just going to say the words. It's Super Bowl or bust. I mean, it's AFC Championship or bust because you don't know what you're going to have with a 40-year-old Ben Roethlisberger, whether you want the team's going to want to move on. And you know what? The same could be said for the Buffalo Bills. They had a breakout year last year. They're in the AFC Championship game. They got to get to the next step. They got to get to a Super Bowl with Josh Allen now and with Sean McDermott and with Leslie Frazier with all they did to bring in and help that offense and that defense with Emmanuel Sanders. You know, I just looked this up before I came on your show. This is the most heavily bet early game of week one on Sunday. The most heavily bet. First of all, you got the Bills Mafia, and you know it's dead serious out there. They do not fool around when it comes to Football Sunday in Western New York. I mean, it's they don't use the word mafia lightly or kindly either way.
Yeah.
is dead serious. And then you got the Steelers, one of the most proud organizations, most historic, with a great legacy. And Bart, you know those Steelers fans, they travel.
Yes.
They travel very, very well.
I'm going out there.
It's going to be rough. Rough and tumble. Leave the wife and children at home. It's going to be rough and tumble.
Put on a Kevlar vest, man.
Is the spread now, is spread still 6.5?
I'm just reading about this on the Vegas websites. So Buffalo was a 6-point home favorite.
Yeah.
The public went all over the Bills, right? Mm-hmm. And that pushed it up to 7, plus 7, right? Pittsburgh plus 7. And then the wise guys went all over it, dropping the line down to 6.5. So now it's 6.5.
I'm not touching that. No chance. Am I touching that? Very unpredictable.
I mean, if you had the wherewithal, the foresight to grab Pittsburgh plus a touchdown, I mean, you got to do that. And I'll give you another little nugget. The winds coming in off Lake Erie supposed to be 10 to 15 miles an hour all day long.
There we go.
That's in the phone booth, though.
Yes. Yeah, that's
something. You need a running game, but who has a more dominant unit?
Sal, that's great stuff, man, as always. We love having you on. Thank you so much. Enjoy this one. It could be very entertaining.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Sal Palantonio on the Goodyear Hotline.
We'll have to give Sal a full helmet, but we're gonna just give him like the little bike helmet in case stuff gets thrown, because those two fan bases are crazy.
That's gonna be something. And you know what? Him giving us that nugget sets us up for lunch money. Mm.
Here we go. Let's get some extra money in your pocket.
Cheese and sour cream on the taco. Here we go.
This is Lunch Money.
All right, like I said, I'm not going anywhere near that game, but Bart, I'll give you my three, and you can give me your three, and we will begin the season.
Did you write my three down?
No, I didn't. I don't do your homework. You didn't do your homework?
I thought we discussed my homework, but okay.
You said you were going to write them down.
I did, but I lost the paper. Go ahead.
All right, well, I'll begin with mine. Okay, so the first game I'm going with here is the other AFC matchup that really I have my eyes on, and that is the Browns and the Chiefs. The latest I've seen, now I don't think it's moved, but this morning the latest I saw was the Browns. I'll take the 5.5 points. I know they're on the road. I don't know if the Browns are winning this game, but I just feel like it's going to be closer. The Chiefs line has been rebuilt, yes, but the Browns, you aren't giving them respect defensively, but up front they are nasty. I think this is going to be a closer game than 5.5, so I'm taking the points. I'm taking the Browns. I move on to a game that all of a sudden will not have home field advantage. In fact, this game might actually swing, even though it's a road game for the team I'm taking, and that is the Green Bay Packers. They're playing the Saints, but the game's in Jacksonville. The Packers are favored by 3.5, and I'll take it. I'll give the points, and I'm taking Aaron Rodgers and the Packers in Jacksonville. Thirdly, this is a game where, again, I look at this as a dangerous game for one team, and that is the New York Giants. They are hosting the Broncos. Mm. It's a late afternoon game, so it's no effect at all on the west to east kind of thing. That Broncos defense is tough. The Giants offensive line, I think they're still auditioning players. With that in mind, the Broncos are giving 3. I'll give you the 3, and I'm taking the Broncos in this game. So those are my 3. Browns, I'll take the 5.5. Packers, I'll give you the 3.5. Broncos, I'll give you the 3. That's where I'm going week one. What do you have?
I'm going to be laser focused, right? I'm just going to start off with the game that we were just talking about with Sal Palantonio, because listen, if everybody's off the Pittsburgh Steelers bandwagon, I got me a nice cushy seat and I can put my feet out and stretch out. Listen, for everybody out there that don't understand, listen, I believe in brand names. And one of the biggest brands in all of football is the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yep.
And definitely under Mike Tomlin. Right, you talk about never having a losing season. This is a proud organization.
All right, you made your point. You made your point.
And make names.
Steelers, so, and you're Steelers, and you're taking the 8. This,
yeah,
is it 8 now?
Whatever.
7?
6, 7, I don't care what it is.
Whatever it is, you're taking it. All right,
and listen,
I'm only picking two.
I'm
good. What's your
I'm
other
only
one?
Picking two.
Oh, I know where you're going.
I'm going to the Allen Bowl. Everybody out there, if anybody listened to C.J. Mosley the other day at his press conference,
are you picking this game?
C.J. Mosley said, hey, for everybody think that they just going to come in here and they're going to walk over us, they're going to get a rude awakening when they get their ass kicked, right? And I believe that this is a team under Robert Saleh, listen, that is it is focused, all gas, no brakes. It has a philosophy. It has a mission statement. It has a way of playing football. And I think it's going to be good for this personnel, a young team that is too dumb to know or too young
so
to
you're,
know.
So you're taking the Jets
so I'm taking
and the points.
Jets four. And the 4 points. You can write it down, and I'll bet you a batch of Bojangles.
Can we get Bojangles in New York?
Listen, I can have them bring it back on the plane.
Right.
It's the Jets.
All right, I'm down. They bring it I'm back. Down. Jake the Snake with his picks. Jake the Snake, what do you have for us?
All right, let's remember that I went 1-0, technically 2-0, because I chose the underdog to win outright last week. Georgia, no big deal. Covered.
I was with you.
Won outright. Not a big deal. But I got four plays this week. The trend this week is going to be home dogs. Fans back in the stands for the NFL. So number one, I'm going Colts +3 against the Seahawks. Number two,
I like that.
Raiders +4 against the Ravens. Now, I said it's a trend, not a rule, because I'm going against the trend for this next one. Vikings -3 at Cincinnati. And then finally, I like the Panthers -4 against the Jets.
See, I like disrespectful. I like the Vikings one. That one I like, because I know yesterday.
They're sleeping on the Vikings.
Yeah, no, I like that one. So, J-Dub, by the way, Johnny Pickhams. Not with us today. Congratulations to he and his wife, Kelly, by the way.
Ah.
Their son, Wesley Arthur, born at 10:30 this morning. So congratulations to them. But he did, of course, have time while she was going through labor to make picks.
Because
that's what's important is lunch money, right? Yeah, you good, honey? You good? Okay. All right, good. I'm going to make these picks real quick.
Go make this
And he
cheese.
Gets on the phone and he sends us his picks. So he's taking – yeah, he's giving you the 5.5. He's taking the Chiefs. So he and I are going head-to-head there. All right. He's also taking the Dolphins and the 3 points against the Patriots. What do you think about that?
You already know what I think about
I know
that.
What you
I'm
think
taking,
about
I'm
that.
I'm taking the Dolphins.
So that's also interesting. All right, so we'll make sure we write all these down, and then we'll all brag about the ones we got right and forget wrong.
But y'all really didn't go out on a limb. I went out on a limb.
What limb did you go out on?
The 8-point limb. The Pittsburgh Steelers limb.
That's going to be a close game.
That's I ain't take the game. Points. I was talking about outright.
You let Sal talk you into it. You didn't have your homework done. You just took Sal's advice and you ran with it.
Listen, you can write this down. I'm rolling with the Steelers, the
no,
Ravens.
No, you believe in them and you and do not believe in the Browns.
Broncos and the Dolphins all year.
Man, this is going to be an interesting week one. There's no doubt about that. All right, that's our lunch money. We'll do it each week and we'll try to make you money because I know we're trying to make ourselves some money. Extra cheese on the taco, Bart Scott. Next, we have audio files. We're going to hear from Cam Newton, who talked about how he internalized being released by the Patriots. It caught him actually by surprise, which not all of us knew. We thought he must know something. Wait till you hear what he had to say about that experience. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Han.
So you didn't know that?
That's still wacky D.
The Big 12 is like Big 15.
Let me tell you something. To get punched in the face. Because you're the biggest hater. Here we're supposed to be boys.
Stacey's mom?
Oh, this is Stacey's mom.
Yeah, this isn't the... No. Okay. You were thinking of the other song.
Yeah, yeah.
No, this is Stacey's mom.
The haters' anthem.
For some reason, this is what we're doing today. You got young guys in the control room, and this is where their head's at right now.
You inspired this.
No. I didn't inspire anything.
Get out of here.
No. You guys were playing certain songs, and I'm telling you, I was like, do you know what that song's about? I was just trying to be the guy to guide you through it.
Do not put this on us.
Understand the lyrics.
They were just enjoying the rhythm.
Young, immature guys in the
control. You broke it down for them. You said, hey,
I feel bad for people who listen to music, and they love a song, and they sing it, and I'm going, do you know what you're singing? Do you know what you're singing?
So you're ruining music for people.
I am not. I'm enlightening you. That's all I'm doing.
And I appreciate it, but I don't appreciate the blame.
The most disrespectful song is when you hear girls singing the Little John song from the window to the wall. Like, hey, are you listening to the words? Like, nobody.
It's like in the 90s when somebody's mom was singing like Rex in Effect, and you're like, all you want a what?
It's a zoom, 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 and a wow, mama.
What?
Get off my mama. Get off my mama.
Dude, your mom's in the kitchen singing Rump Shaker. Does she even know what this is about? Anyways, Barton on Allen on Bart Scott. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Sal Palantonio with he was fantastic in the previous segment. If you missed it, you'll get it on the podcast. But he gave you some enlightenment, too, about Bill Steelers that you'll want to pay attention to if you're looking to make some money. So if you missed it, check out the podcast. Bart Scott, you know what, though? It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And you know what that means? I ask you, what time is it?
Audio files.
The audio file. The audio file.
You pause as if you aren't sure, or is that for effect?
It's for effect, for the peoples.
As long as it's for effect.
You don't think we've only been doing audio files for 30 years. It's been one of the first and mainstay of the show.
Yes. And we continue it. And so let's begin with Cam Newton, because so much was made of when he was released by the Patriots. Yeah. It was all the talk was, well, Mac Jones won the job. Mac Jones, the rookie, beat out the former MVP. But not a lot was said about Cam Newton. And Cam Newton kind of just went to Instagram saying, I'll be fine. I'll be all right. And, you know, does feel like he's going to now wait for an opportunity to get back in the league for a team that needs a quarterback. But Cam never really told you about how he felt about being released. I mean, Bill Belichick spoke highly of him. You felt like, you just felt like he was well-liked there. They brought him back.
It hurt when you get cut, man.
And for them to just say, well, we're going with Mac Jones. And by the way, we're also going with Jared Stidham as the backup instead of you. So here's Cam Newton talking about the reaction to him being released by the Patriots.
I would be remiss if I didn't, be honest. Did it catch me by surprise being released? Absolutely. Do I think this would have happened without me being away from the team for 5 days? Honestly? Yes.
It was going to happen.
It was going to happen.
Inevitably.
Did it help ease the decision? Yes.
So, Bart, he's basically saying that him missing time because of COVID, the misunderstanding, actually, it wasn't for COVID, it was the misunderstanding for the test. Because of protocols, he had to stay away from the team. And during that time, Mac Jones really stood out. He had that one practice, of course, everybody was raving about. And from that point forward, he's saying that, of course, it made the decision easy for them once that door was opened when I was away from the team.
Yeah.
And also him not being vaccinated is something that a lot of people believe. You know, they were probably concerned. Maybe the Patriots were just concerned, like, all right, this happened once. If it happens again, we lose a starter. We can't afford to have this, so let's just cut ties.
Well, Cam has to know, right, that, that the reports were made that when Cam wasn't there, right, when Cam was there, he had the best practices of, the summer.
Mac Jones did,
And when Cam came back, he had a bad practice, right? He had the worst practice in the summer, right? So I think when he talked about it, it would have been hard for him to stay a backup because it would have been a big distraction for Mac Jones. It's what I said, right? Cam is such an electrifying personality. If Mac Jones ever struggled, it would have been like, put Cam in and save the day. Like, let's, and all the fans that were saying that don't like Cam.
So you felt like it would be like too imposing of a figure to have behind him.
That is a big shadow that Cam casts because he's one of the favorites. And at the end of the day, Mac Jones knows that he may not be the better quarterback per se, the more accomplished quarterback, but he may be the best quarterback for the Patriots and what they want to do moving forward and for long term. But for right now, you can't tell me that Cam Newton wouldn't win more games.
We'll see
if he was playing.
Yeah, we'll see. And again, if it doesn't go right for Mac Jones, you don't have that cushion of Cam Newton to fall back on. Now you have Jared Stidham.
Yeah.
So that's a big thing too. But for Cam Newton, playing behind Mac Jones, an option.
If they would have asked me, would I play behind? They said, Cam, we're going to give the team to Mac.
Okay.
You're going to be the second string. We expect you to be everything and some to guide him throughout this tenure.
Okay.
I would have said, absolutely. Yeah.
Cam.
But listen.
Cam.
Listen. The truth of the matter is this. He would have been uncomfortable.
That's exactly what you said, Bart. He said, I would have been absolutely fine with mentoring him and being the backup. I would have welcomed it.
Yeah.
But he would have been uncomfortable, meaning Mac Jones would have been uncomfortable. It's exactly what you are suggesting.
I wonder if Mac Jones gets injured or something, instead of going to Stidham, if they call Cam Newton to come back, right? Because this is a team with Super Bowl aspirations. So if he gets injured, dinged up, do you go back to Cam or do you go to Jared Stidham? Knowing what we all know what Jared Stidham looks like. I mean, Jamal Adams went to a couple Pro Bowls because of him. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
I wonder if they would go back.
The Jets got to see that in short term.
Because Cam hasn't signed with anybody. I haven't heard of him visiting with anybody. You know, remember,
there's nothing open for him right now anyway.
Well, but you think so, as a backup, getting him in there, signing him to the practice squad, allowing him to learn the offense, so then...
We all thought the Dallas Cowboys would be the perfect place for him, right? Because it's, you know...
Yeah, because of the situation. But, similar. I mean, I think the best situation for him, really, is Arizona. Because that's more of the air raid, is really more what Cam did coming in and, you know, brought in. And
okay.
That's more of a... option type of game. Like Dak, sometimes he does versions of it, but that's not their main offense. The main offense with the air raid is like that read option RPO.
Well, we'll see where that ends up, but for now, I mean, as Cam Newton said, he would have stayed if they wanted him, but they didn't want him, and now we'll see where it goes in New England. Meanwhile, in New York, Daniel Jones is the guy, and we discussed this a bit yesterday, but Daniel Jones has a lot of pressure on him to prove himself. Now, somebody that has spent a year with him and certainly can understand the situation that he's in right now is Eli Manning. And Eli Manning spoke glowingly about what has become basically his replacement and someone that a lot of people feels they have a lot of similarities personality-wise. Certainly not on the field, but personality-wise. Eli Manning is all about Daniel Jones and believes in him.
I've seen firsthand just how hard Daniel works. I know how important it is to him for him to be a successful player. I know he knows this year is a big year for him, but he's not. That's not going to put pressure on him. It's going to make him excel and do better. So I'm rooting for him, and I think he has the work ethic, the skill set to make those plays. He's made the mistakes. He's going to learn from those, and I think he can go out there and have a big year.
He could have a big year if the offensive line holds up and Saquon Barkley goes back to being the guy we saw before the injury, right? If those two things happen, then Daniel Jones can be successful. But it's a critical year for the Giants to decide if they have the quarterback or not.
Quarterback, the running back, the left tackle, the general manager. Oh, everybody's on being watched right now. And listen, I understand Daniel Jones, and it may not be a fair fight, but, you know, it's a guy that's going to play this week that, you know, was in a similar situation. Had a bad offensive line, had a running back that was all worldly that came out and didn't perform well, and had a head coach that wasn't the coach for him. And, you know, he lost his job. He lost his job to Zach Wilson. And could Daniel Jones become...
Lost the job to Mac Jones, you mean, right?
What are you saying? No.
Sam Darnold. Oh,
yes.
Yeah. Okay, okay.
So I'm talking Sam Darnold. This is very eerily similar to where Sam Darnold found himself.
Because Sam Darnold is still in his rookie deal.
Right.
Daniel Jones, because they could move on and just draft another quarterback if they have a top five pick or something like that. Yeah, no, it is kind of similar, the two New York teams where they are. They're just about a year apart from making that decision. All right, that's
Le'Veon
Audio
Bell
Files.
Was quarterback,
and that was Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Yeah, he didn't use Bell properly, though. You imagine that Saquon Barkley will be used properly with the Giants. All right. The Giants, that is just one game against the Denver Broncos. Just one game of, obviously, many, 15 more this weekend. We want to hear from you at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. What is the game matchup situation that you are most excited to look forward to see as the NFL begins this weekend? It's Bart and Han, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Bart and Han.
See, now this is...
Yeah, yo, bro, I heard your little song. Yeah. And me and you know that really her name ain't Jessie. Her name's Lisa. Yeah, you tried to hide it behind Jessie like you want to talk about my girl, but we both know you've been recklessly eyeballing my girl. So if I'm a dude that's in the short dude circle and he's talking about Jessie.
But you're Jessie.
No,
Jessie. You're Jessie. Jessie's the guy. It's Jessie's girl. So he has a friend named Jessie.
So listen. Who has a girl.
Okay, so
he's
listen.
A real good friend of mine, but lately.
So listen. Yo, I heard your little song, bro. And really? You've been recklessly eyeballing my kid? I know you named the person on your song, Jessie. My name's Steve, bro. You really talking about Steve's girl. You know how somebody write a book and they change the character?
Yeah.
They do it in a bad way.
So that's what you're saying.
So let me holler at you, dog. No. I got to holler at you. No. Don't run, though. You know I'm faster. You run, it's going to be worse. If you run, it's going to be worse. Guess what? We ain't never been friends. We won't be friends again. But you're going to take this L. Somebody write a whole song about he wants your girl.
Yeah, this first is nothing all, you bro, ever should admit.
First of all, let me tell you something. You can't feel Jesse's shoes. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? So you might not want to go in there and embarrass yourself. How about that? You don't want Jesse's girl. Jesse's girl is doing just fine. Believe me,
you may
chump.
Want Jesse's girl, but Jesse's girl don't want you.
Exactly.
That's really what you're trying to say.
Yeah, Tiny Tim.
Are you sure, though? Oh, we're going there. All right. So I see your point. But that's not something you should ever reveal. Like, he's telling...
You know he changed the name. Telling, you know he changed the name.
Well, he might have. But like, Rick Springfield, by the way, is telling people about this. Like, he's getting... I got to get this off my chest. I got to tell people. I got to tell people about this. You should never tell people this. This is definitely, like, if I'm giving advice to anyone, that's the main thing I would say. If somebody came up to me like, yo, like, this guy's girl? I'm like, no. Don't ever put that out in the world because it's going to come back to haunt you.
How do you have... How can you write a song like that? Like that tells a lot. But that tells a lot about
the '80s were different, man.
But that tells a lot about the person. Like that's his creative. That's his creative genius.
Like, can you be friends with him?
Yeah, I want to make a song and have him around your girl.
Like, what made you think of that? What made you think of that?
I told you, Pat Riley is the one dude that you never leave the room with your girl in the room. Right? You know what I'm saying, like, so, like, really, like, we all got friends like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I have to kill him. Like, I love him, but I have to kill him because, you know, I can't trust my. Yeah, and listen. Like, my wife got friends like that, too. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, babe, I'm about to go. Like, you know, no, come on. Leave the room. No, you ain't standing here with Keisha. I like Keisha, but I don't trust her around my
man.
You know, it's different degrees of friendships.
Alan Hall, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, represented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive makes bundling easy and affordable. Get multi-policy discount by combining your car, home, motorcycle, commercial, auto, and more, all your protection in one place. Bundle and save at progressive.com.
Can I ask our listeners something?
Well, we don't have much time left to ask them anything.
Well, for later.
We have a whole bunch of calls that we could have gotten
Well,
to.
When we go to our calls.
No, it's not going to happen.
I want to. No. Let's go. Pick up the call.
We have 1 minute.
Pick up the call.
All right. Tell you what. Alan in Uniondale has a question for you. Go ahead, Alan. Quickly.
Quickly? I bet. So this weekend, the Panthers and Jets play. Does Sam Darnold get the W and get his revenge against the Jets?
I think Sam Darnold shows that he's a really good quarterback. Tell me this. Do you have a guy that you won't trust around your girl? That's what we're doing next hour.
Next hour? In New York, exclusively, maybe. How about William in Savannah? Really quick, William.
Hey, what's going on,
what's
fellas?
Up?
I wanted to ask you guys about my Jacksonville Jaguars and Trevor Lawrence.
Going
to
get your first win of the season. It might not be many of them, but William, but enjoy it.
Yeah.
Urban Meyer and Trevor Lawrence getting their first dub because the Texans aren't trying to win, Bart.
Tie for the division lead for 1 week. Short-lived, though.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, with 10 seconds to go, you in New York, stay with us on 98.7 ESPN. We'll stay with you. Everybody else, have a great weekend. Enjoy the football.
I holla.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.